The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Well, coming in from the cold, I don't blame them. We're 3 hours and 15 minutes away from kick, and some fans look like they're back in Alabama. Welcome back. As we continue our coverage live from Lucas Oil Stadium, we spent almost the entire time with Nicole Arabeck a minute ago talking about our guest, Greg Sankey, and your day. I know most of us are excited about the game, but you've already played a couple of games this morning at the CFP meetings.
Spent a lot of time in meeting rooms. Indianapolis is a wonderful city. The sun's out, it's cold, and I saw a lot of meeting rooms.
We saw the statements, as well as from you, in terms of progress from where we were back in May and June when you were part of a working group, and it all the entire world of college football was buzzing about maybe we're going to get this playoff and maybe expanded playoff, and maybe we're going to get it soon. Where are we today?
Well, if we made decisions just on popular opinion, we'd be done, because both at the time of announcement in June through the summer, I think the response from the media first was shock, and I think you and I had that conversation, right? Like, wow, where did this come from? And then as we worked to explain the why, a lot of understanding, acceptance. Doesn't mean there was ever the feeling it was going to be a rubber stamp, but not everyone feels that way. And so we were at meetings today, like we were at meetings December 1st, like we're at meetings November 3rd and 4th, like we're at meetings in late September, talking through issues. And we've not been able to resolve the issues to secure the necessary votes to move forward, either now, like in the short term, 24-25 season, or even right now in year 13. And I haven't seen the actual official statement. I was in a meeting, then I was out of a meeting, then I was back in a meeting. So I understand the destination as we've been assigned work and encouraged directly to move forward. But we're not there at this point.
Is it possible that when we get to the end of this contract, we're not going to have an expanded playoff even the next year?
There's a book, Art of Possibility, which would say absolutely. That's a possibility. Whether that's a likelihood, I would not suggest it's a likelihood. I do think there's a meaningful intent to come to conclusion. But I'll be clear that when we were assigned the task of looking at expansion, we had what we understood was a clear task, a clear set of expectations, not a lot of limitations, just, hey, explore the range of possibility, using that word, and introduce a format that can be considered and potentially implemented for the future. Yet again, we're not at that finish line.
I realize this is not a legal action or a civil action, and oftentimes in a civil case, you'll get a mediator, then an arbitrator, and then it almost feels like somebody needs to sit in the middle of this and say, okay, your side, let's find a solution. You're trying.
Yeah, no, that's where I was saying you took the answer. We're trying, and I think my colleagues have identified issues as we've met. Some issues have arisen anew. Some have arisen in different ways. Some have become more hardened, if you will. And the question is, can those be softened, adapted, and the ability to seek a compromise? I don't know. I was over here earlier for a show on the network. I went back, and I've blown past the media. So Nicole and her colleagues, I'm full speed ahead because I've had obligations. And I went back and spent 30 minutes just to share my perspective. And some interpret my remarks as frustration. Sure, that's frustration. You spend a lot of time. You want to make progress. You want to come to conclusion. At the same time, what we as a conference have presented in this is an enormous give. And perhaps tactically, as I evaluate my own approach, we should have said, we're not going to move off of four. Not now, not ever. But that seems unwise for college football. And so that give up front was to really match the intent of the charge from the Board of Managers, which is to explore the possibility of a new format. That informs any frustration you may hear in my voice. I think we made an enormous step over here at the end, not being able to get to a completion.
We're talking to Commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, and Commissioner, on that subject, I saw an article today, I think it was in USA Today, who knows, that talked about while all this supposed progress and debate has been raging on, the SEC, you know this, of course, has continued to dominate. And it almost, it would seem like if you're on the other side, you say to at least your colleagues, maybe your alliance brothers, what have we accomplished by... I know I'm talking to the wrong person here, but still.
Right. You know, the alliance was formed after the announced membership transition. Those conferences can explain themselves. I've asked directly, is this about block voting or attempting to exclude the Southeastern Conference? And I've been assured repeatedly that's not the case. They've done a nice job of capturing their focus on mental health. We've been actually facilitating that work for the last 4 or 5 years. We haven't provided advertising about that. Maybe I should look at that differently. We are aligned. I met Brian Kelly for the first time last Tuesday, and Brian was just asking about me about the conference and my experience. I said, one of the things you'll find out is alignment. Presidents, chancellors, athletics directors, coaches. That doesn't mean there's always agreement, but there's a vision that we want to be the best. We want to be excellent across the board. And that attracted two new members for the future. It puts two of our teams here tonight. We have more top 100 men's basketball teams than anybody else. We have number one women's basketball team. I mean, we just continue to succeed because of that alignment. And I'm excited about our future, and I'm not distracted. Our teams aren't distracted by what's happening around us. That's why we continue forward.
I read the other day that you're the most powerful person in college athletics. Do you think you could get them to turn that down?
It's a beautiful time to hear people's voices out there. So I'm leaning in because I care deeply and I also want to hear you.
Well, the crowd continues to come in, and we will change the focus to what we really are here for tonight. Your meetings always are part of it. I remember 3 years ago in California, we breathlessly awaited you to show up to ask you, do we have progress? And tonight, it almost seems like we have less. But let's talk about how it feels to be the commissioner of this conference, which is on center stage tonight in front of the whole sports world.
Again, and it's happened again and again and again. And it's a reward. It's fun for me. It's a tribute to the two teams. It's a tribute to how they're prepared for competition. You know, you saw the really dominating scores in the semifinal games that both put up. There's a history dating back to the 2012 SEC championship game, a phenomenal game in the old Georgia Dome that went down to the very last play.
Right.
The overtime game in the national championship game. And I think the intensity on the field and around the field tonight will just be fun. It'll be fun for me at least.
Yeah, and well, it ought to be because, you know, one of the things about being the commissioner is sweating out games like this, which you have often done, you have an enormous experience having just recently gone through it in baseball. You've gone through it in basketball. Yep. You've gone through it countless times. As you're a fan of the sport too, as you watch the game tonight, how do you channel your own emotions?
Well, the emotions are so different. If like last week at the Cotton Bowl, or a little more than a week ago, you're on edge about winning and losing. You know, that first drive with, 10 straight runs, I felt good at that point. And then you watch the Orange Bowl and wonder. So what I'll do is, my happy place, if you will, is I'll go down to the field and watch kickoff, as long as they'll let me down there. I think the protocols will allow that. And watch two or three series, just feel the game up close. And that's really a fun part. There's a lot of work that's done, and that's where I've kind of found my joy in this work. And then I've got some friends and family here, go around and meet, greet people. And I don't get to watch much of the game, but I think tonight I'm going to try to just sit and enjoy the atmosphere and the competition.
Yeah, I mean, there may have been a time in your career where you were less well known, but you've become quite recognizable.
I walked from the hotel through the corridors, and I told my family, so I had somebody to help me navigate, number of selfies, and I said, this will be interesting. So this is a happy crowd right now, and it's fun to be a part of it, and it's fun to meet people. I'll ask them their name, where they're from. I met Georgia fans who live along Lake Erie. other Georgia fans from Warner Roberts, Warner Robins, Georgia, a set of fans from Alabama, fans from Pennsylvania. And I think that's the appeal of the Southeastern Conference. It's not as if we're limited to these 11 states. I'll end up in California, and that recognition, all somebody says in an airport, hey, you know, Commissioner Sankey, it's great to meet you. Can I take a picture? Can I ask you a question? And we've continued to build who we are. We've done. We've got this great advertisement on national TV for a national championship, and we'll continue to build that. And maybe that'll call others to reconsider their position.
Well, I know it's been a frustrating day, Commissioner, but you will be the commissioner of the national champs in college football. So it's going to be a great later evening. So thanks so much for being here.
For the third consecutive year, we'll be the champion.
That is true. And it's possible. It's entirely possible. Three different teams. That's even more remarkable. Great to have you. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Commissioner Greg Sankey joining us as we continue here in Indianapolis. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Well, we're getting ready for the national championship. 3 hours from right now, the kick will be underway in this arena. It is starting to fill up. The noise, I don't know where this concert is going on, but it's feels like it is in my ear.
It says earlier today from Monument Circle, so it's not even going on right now.
Oh, okay. We'll turn it down.
Well, there's SEC Nation.
They are getting the set ready. The show begins...
45 minutes?
Yeah,
six?
I was just trying to do the math.
Actually, I did the wrong math, yeah, but that's not the first time. What's up, Paul?
Well, Laura Rutledge is here.
Hi.
I'm such a good host, I forgot to do my...
That doesn't matter.
It's good to see you. I know everybody's
so
kind of crazy
you.
This time of year. I'm hanging around doing nothing Saturday afternoon. There you are interviewing Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I did the Broncos-Chiefs game. The Chiefs kind of got lucky with a win there. Broncos sort of petered it away toward the end, but... it was cool. Good game. I came straight from there to here.
Yeah, I guess you were ready for the cold weather here.
I know. But you know what's so funny? So even today, because we're indoors, thank goodness, because we'd be freezing out there. It feels about 19 degrees, it said. It's somewhere around 26. But anyway, I'm about to have to go outside because we're doing a little open for SEC Nation outside.
Oh,
and I do not have a jacket, so
Send
prayers. Yeah, can I take your jacket?
Sure.
You know what? That's actually two sizes too small for me.
I was going to toss it. I was going to throw it away anyway tonight.
Let me rip it.
Listen, nobody wants to hear about the weather because it's cold pretty much everywhere
right.
this time of the year.
Right.
But it does make me wonder, I don't want to question the intelligence of the people that run the CFP, although I am going to question.
It's an interesting decision.
But they did play the Super Bowl here.
They did. And everybody talks about that Super Bowl. That was before I covered the NFL, so I obviously wasn't here. But talk about that Super Bowl as one of the coldest experiences that anybody had. And the great thing about Indianapolis is you really can't get a lot of places via Skywalk, so you don't have to go outside that much. But even, look at all these people right now. They're like, let's get in here as quick as possible so we do not have to be out in the cold, get warm and get ready to go. And it does feel much better inside that it does outside.
Yeah, and you have to kind of pick your poison when you travel. Do I want to carry Parkers and muttons?
Yeah.
How about
muffins?
What do they call those things?
What are you saying?
I don't know. Mittens.
Scarves? Mittens? You called them buttons and ruffins and...
Here's the problem, Laura. If I could... We are... where we are, you're looking behind us. If you turn the camera around... There's a canister there with about 15 Bud Lights, and I've been into
it. He's already had a few. Hey, listen, just wait till the end of the show. Wait till the end of SEC Nation. By that point, who knows how many people have had. Go to that blue cantina over there, and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's right there.
Convenient.
And I got thirsty, so shame on me. So Let's talk about what's coming up the rest of the evening. The SEC Nation will be below us?
Yes, we're slightly below where we are right now, and we'll be coming at you from 6 p.m. to 8 Eastern. Oh, there we are. Oh, that's a cool angle. Anyway, I think we got a lot of things planned. They're going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, game picks are going to be fun. Wait till everybody sees who these guys are picking between Alabama and Georgia. We've got Luke Fickell joining us, the Cincinnati coach, joining us on their strategy against Alabama, some of his takes on that, as well as Dan Mullen. We got Benjamin Watson in addition to – there's our set.
I could jump down there from here.
I know. I wouldn't recommend it, though, Paul. You want to, like, parachute down or something? Either way, it's going to be a whole lot of fun. And then we'll be back with everybody at halftime and then post-game as well.
So we got a chance to see what the crew does 45 minutes before the show.
Yeah, what were they doing?
Nothing.
Yeah, they were just waving. That is because our excellent crew got all their work done earlier today. So they were prepared. They're ready to go. I can't wait to see who you pick in this game, Paul. Do people know already? Is it out there? Have you picked yet somewhere else?
The problem with this game is that, you know, I joined so many other people in looking at Georgia correctly, I think, before the last. I mean, the one thing I didn't know that they were not in great shape, that the building was hot. I mean, I did know that, but it didn't bother me. I didn't know all these things that we are now hearing in the aftermath of that. I wish I'd known all that.
Yeah, that would have been, like, really key information to find out. But either way, in this game tonight, I think that any of the information that we had coming in, I'm not sure if it even matters as much. I will say this, though. Georgia is healthier than Alabama right now. Still,
let's talk about that, because you were on the Alabama sidelines.
Yes.
10 days ago, and they do have some serious issues.
So one thing I'd watch for tonight, Jalen Armour-Davis at the cornerback position, dealing with that hip injury. And remember, he came out of that game against Cincinnati early. He was in some pain, but it was almost more that his hips were not moving in the way that you would want them to move at that position. He was a little bit stiffer than you'd want to see. And so I'm not sure that he's going to play in this game. I think they're in a situation where they want to use him if they can, but they don't want to overdo it, right? So that's an interesting area, because you're looking at some younger guys at those positions, Kool-Aid McKinstry, as well as Jackson on the other side, too. So and they've been happy with what Kyrie Jackson's done so far. But either way, still some youth there. And then on the O-line, Emil Ekior, the offensive lineman, is probably a little more banged up than we thought. He'll still play in this game, but he went out in the Cotton Bowl with a shoulder injury, had the sling on the sideline. And I say all this to say that what matters most is that Alabama has the best quarterback and the best player in college football. And so it's up to Bryce Young to sort of overcome a lot of these things against a much healthier Georgia team, in my mind.
Talking to Laura Rutledge here, it is loud, but we are in a stadium. I'm just really intrigued by looking at the fans here who are they're 3 hours from the kick. Laura, what do you do if you're in the stands 3 hours?
It's early for me. I feel like it's definitely a little early. Oh, we got a fan who's going to her seat right now. And maybe we should ask somebody, like, what are you guys doing? And by the way, Paul, do you feel like you're sitting a little low over there? Should we raise you up? It shouldn't be that hard, right?
I'm glad you just told me that. I've
yeah,
been
there
here
you
for
go.
3 hours.
That's better. Yeah. Does that look better to you guys?
It
I
does.
Feel like we couldn't really see you. I'm towering over you.
You know, the one thing about this show, Laura, and I think it's been the key to the success of this show, is that no one has ever really cared what I look like.
Well, but I do, so I'm just trying to raise you up a little bit so people can see your great suit and what you're working with. This to me, Paul, whenever you've been to games, you ever get here this early? Like, if you don't have to be there that early as a fan?
No, I mean, I will tell you, as a sports writer, I know you're laughing. You don't ever think I did that, but I did.
Such a TV man.
We would get there early for one specific. There's Eli Gold, who was the voice of the Crimson Tide, and you'll hear a lot of Eli tonight during the megacast.
Yeah, the whole first half will be on the SEC Network with the Bama broadcast. There, Dan Mullen's waiting in the wings. That probably means I'm about to get kicked off the show. Hey, Coach.
Calm down.
Sorry.
You still have no one's ever removing you from the show. I tell you, speaking of cold, I do remember this now. The last time Alabama and Georgia played, you were with me for a good bit of the show, and we were outside in Georgia, And they had I think our bosses thought I was going to die.
You did.
They had me like in parkas and blankets, and I didn't think it was even that cold.
So it was funny because you were very bundled up. I don't know that it gave people a great indicator of how tough you are because you look like a real baby out there. You know what? I'm going to go down a little lower here so that
you can't
so that I can be on your same level. Oh my God. We kicked out. You're not going to be able to get back up. I dare you to do the entire rest of I dare you to do the entire rest of the show like that.
Wow, that was fun.
You're not heavy enough to make the thing go down like I am. Anyway, I remember that when we were outside. You're probably so relieved to be inside. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, they're taking a different angle because they don't like that I went down so low. Anyway, Paul, what are you looking out for early in this game? Like, what's really going to make a difference?
I'm pretty well fixated on Stetson Bennett IV.
Yeah.
I just want to see if he can graduate to become the fifth by the end of the evening. And if he wins, there'll be a lot of fists consumed in Atlanta and Buckhead and Athens. He's a big part of it. I want to see if he's relaxed.
Yeah.
The defensive line from Georgia, I think, is predictable. And I have learned one thing about the Georgia-Alabama series. Don't get hung up on the early score.
Yeah. I think this is going to overtime. I really do. The spread's 2.5. Georgia's favored by 2.5 points. To me, that's an overtime game, and we'll see who ends up winning. Let me ask you that question. If it gets to overtime, and I realize we don't know what the game's going like, so just saying all things being equal, if it gets to overtime, who wins?
It's a Tua to Devontae Smith walk-off.
Oh, my goodness.
Laura, we know you have to get to the SEC Network set, so I don't know if you've had your booster shot, but you have your booster
chair. I'm going to boost my chair back up. By the way, Dan Mullen's got to get in this chair, so I definitely have to raise
we'll
it up
right
for
back.
Him.
Dan Mullen joining us.
See you on SEC Nation.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome all of you back. We've got 30 minutes to go before we turn it over to SEC Nation. As daylight beginning to slip away in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, and look who we found, Coach Dan Mullen joining us. And Coach, you've been in a couple of these games. You know what it's like. We were talking to Tim earlier, and it seems like it's interminable waiting for a night game to start.
It's a long day. Now, I mean, you get used to it. You get your routine down. In the game, you know, and generally you wake up in the morning and we'd always go for a team walk, have breakfast, then you go to a walkthrough, then you got this about 3.5 hour dead period kind of in the middle where you're back in your room reviewing notes. But on a Monday, it's tough, right? Because, you know, normally on a Saturday, you're buzzing through some games, flipping out, watching some notes and flipping through your notes and seeing what other people are doing, I guess. Today they're watching Days of Our Lives or whatever's on the middle of the afternoon right now. And then, but it is a long day. You do a second walkthrough, but then once you hit that pregame meal, you know it. Then it starts to really build in.
Whether it's a title game, an SEC title game like you were in last year, or just any game, as a coach, it's 3 hours before the game. The routine is starting to kick in. What are you thinking about?
You know, I mean, you're starting to making sure that you've checked every single box. That's my, you know, you have a checklist of everything that we've covered to make sure all of that's done. You're really just reviewing your notes and the strategy and just making sure you're going through everything that can happen. You know, as a play caller, you're going through the call sheet and the game sheet. And because a play call, you're really looking sometimes 3 to 4 to 5 moves ahead. So as you're going through your call sheet, you're saying, okay, I love this call, but I want to keep this to the second half. Make sure right. I like this in the middle of the second quarter. I want to call this after I've set them up with three other things. You're just really kind of almost like a dress rehearsal review of how you want the game to go.
I hear quarterbacks all the time talk about, you know, we scripted the first 15 plays of the day, of the game. Yeah. Does that really happen?
Yeah. You know, I'd go to about 12.
Okay.
You'll get off it. You know, I mean, you'll get off it. And a lot of times, a couple different things with the script that you want to do. Okay, some of it is I want to see how they're going to play certain formations. So I want to make sure I get into this formation early in the game. I want to see how they're going to deal with this personnel grouping. So I want to get into that early in the game just so I can answer some questions on adjustments. It'll be interesting tonight, the first couple calls, to see how they're going to try to play, to see how they've adjusted for each team from game one to game two within their call sheet. But you always can get off it. You know, you get off it when you get into third down. You get off it when you get into red zone. You'll get off it into, hey, we hit an explosive play. I wanted to go somewhere else. This is what I wanted to call after an explosive, so I'm going to get off the script right now. So, but you get to it in the end.
Talking to Coach Mullen here, and Coach, all games certainly take something out of you, but, you know, whether it's a national championship game, an SEC championship game, it's the Georgia game, whatever game, is it the same in your head, or do you know when you walk out here tonight what's happening?
Yeah. Well, I'm not coaching right now, so I can give you non-coach talk.
Sure.
You know what's going on right now. You know, I mean, this every game's the same. It's not.
I'm glad to hear that.
This one's totally different. I go back, and I remember sitting there, and I remember writing up the opening script of 2006. Getting ready to play Ohio State in the national championship game. I was the offensive coordinator. And I sat there and like, okay, how are we going to start this game? What are the play calls? This is the national championship. It's just such a bigger deal. But it automatically hit me and said, hey, this is the national championship game. I want to be extremely aggressive. I'm not going to change who we are and what we do, but I'm certainly not going to be conservative because we worked hard to get here. We're going to take advantage of this moment. We're going to take advantage of being in a championship game. We want to go win this game. And that was, you know, so I always took that approach. In the bigger games, you wanted to be, don't lose your identity, but make sure you're aggressive. And I look back you review the career. A lot of big games, you feel that you didn't start with that aggressive mindset. You look back, you're like, should have started. I should have been much more aggressive in the bigger games, you know, instead of being conservative.
It's unusual to be in Kirby Smart's shoes tonight, where you lost a game, and 5 weeks later you're playing the same team. You know him very well. He's playing his mentor. I mean, it's got to be a weird time for him.
It is, but I think for him, I think this is the way he would want it in this game. He has the chance to exercise every one of his demons in one game.
Right.
He gets to exercise the Nick Saban demon in one game. The Georgia-Alabama 7-game losing streak. And for all, you know, I will think, in just walking around, I think Georgia's probably got the home field advantage. Maybe I'm off on that from the couple days I've spent here. The whole Georgia nation that's been waiting since 1980, hopefully, for this night to come. So he gets the opportunity to exercise all of those demons together at one time.
I wanted to talk to you about Nick Saban for a second because, you know, the media, I said it myself. I watched other people say, I'm not going against Nick Saban. And we get it all. I mean, yeah. We know what he's done. You've competed against him. How much does he matter at this point? I mean, we know what he's done.
Well, He's not playing tonight. He's not going to carry the ball one time tonight. So the players got to do it. But you know what? It is in his ability of how they lead up to the game, his staff, his organization, everything they do, the ability of what they do, how they work together, and how he arranges in-game adjustments is going to be fantastic. Because you know, and he's done it a long time, and he's going to manage every aspect of the game. but he's not physically out there making those plays. So I think it's a big deal. I think the big deal really is Georgia looking across that field, knowing, you know, coming to the game, Georgia's the better football team, you know, and second time in a row that they're favored over Alabama in 5 weeks. In however many years, I don't know, Nick hasn't been an underdog very often. And very rarely does he show up, and you look across the field, and he doesn't have the better team. And talent-wise, and the numbers are telling you, Georgia probably has the better team in being the favorites two times in a row. But they still have to look across the field and see Nick and see Alabama and see, ooh, can we get over that hump to go beat him?
I'm just trying to think that if you and Urban Meyer had, you know, been at programs that played each other a lot, which obviously didn't happen, but would that have been strange for you? And because that's where Kirby is.
Yeah, it happened. You know, it's crazy. It happened twice in my first 2 years as a head coach. And, you know, one of the things, too, for Kirby, I know that always makes it hard. You know, Urban and I were close, and you go and, you know, this guy that's kind of been a mentor that's helped you get in this position, you can't call and ask for any advice. I don't trust a word coming out of his mouth when I got to play him in the middle of the season, right? I'm not going to – and then we're playing him the next year. So, for Kirby right now, that is a big deal. That, you know, someone that he was close with for so long that you have to go compete against him immediately. And, you know, I only got two chances. We went, lost the first one, won the second one. So that was – I'll tell you what, it was a fun day for me when, you know, the guy that you worked for a long time, that was a mentor of yours, to get that win, that was one of my bigger wins. And I know this would be, obviously, for a lot of reasons, a big one for Kirby.
And I want to close on Kirby Smart because, you know, if it doesn't go well tonight, there will be the pundits out there. And I mean, I feel kind of weird asking you these questions considering you went through a season where a lot of people were saying similar things. Look at his record. It's incredible. Look at it, the best play caller in America, and you know there was, and we're sitting here today.
Yeah. You know what, though, for Kirby, and that is the hard part, you know, because the number one thing, if Georgia doesn't win the game tonight, the number one thing that's going to be said is, if not now, when?
Right.
Okay. Well, Kirby's built a great program. They have another top five recruiting class coming in. They're not going to be short of talent, and they're not going away anytime soon. So the if not now, when? Is really not a fair discussion, but that's going to be all that's said and all that's talked about because they, you know, I mean, and most people look and say they have a little bit more talented of a team, but you got to go play the game, and you know, and so many different things can happen in the course of this game. There's going to be about 140 plays in the game, maybe more, maybe up to 180 with special teams, depending on the tempo and how it goes. And as a coach, and you talk to the players about this all the time, if you could tell me which one of those 180 plays is going to be the game changer, we'll be ready for that one play. But the fact that no one knows which one of those 180 plays is going to be the one, we got to be ready for every single one. And we got to be able to adjust to it and be ready for the next one, because I can't tell you which of the game-changing plays are going to be. And, you know, I mean, you're talking from some of the funkiest things that could happen on a one bad snap, a ball gets tipped, or it bounces a weird way. Can have it change the outcome of the game. And so you got to be prepared for all of those moments.
Finally, you've done this twice now. Have you enjoyed being on this side?
I'm enjoying this. I love being with you guys. This is a lot of fun. You know, it's great. I've been pretty fortunate, I guess. My two games up here, right, have been the SEC championship and the national championship. You know, as you said, for you, you know, is week three the same as this game? It's probably you know, as you say, right? Is that that's media talk right there? Yeah, every game we treat every game the same. We're going to come out, give it our best show every game. But it is a bigger scene, and it's been a lot of fun. I'm enjoying doing this and hanging out with everybody and getting to be here in this atmosphere.
Thank you, Coach. Always great to see you. Coach Dan Mullen, as we begin to wind the program down, we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Final few moments of the program, and Marty Smith is joining us. And Marty's had a busy couple of weeks as we welcome you back to our coverage of the national championship game. Marty was with Michigan last week in Miami. He's been with Alabama all week. What have you learned hanging around the master?
Every time I go to Tuscaloosa and have the opportunity to sit across from him, I learn. And you would think eventually you're like, okay, I've heard that before. And Coach Saban does have very distinct message points, as you know. It's creating value for our players.
Sure.
It's our process. If we play to our standard, it doesn't matter who the opponent is, all those things. But invariably, I learned quite a bit. And I actually made the decision this time when I sat across from him, Paul, to discuss legacy. And you know, talking to Coach Saban on the eve, as it were, of another opportunity to win a national championship, that's not his cup of tea. He doesn't want to do it. But he did. And he said, look, ultimately for me, a legacy is how many players want to come back. How many of the young men that you've mentored and coached want to come back because you meant that much to them? And then he mentioned Bear Bryant. I asked him what it was like to stand, you know, in the pantheon of the greatest of all time right beside Coach Bryant. And he said he's still the standard because it was his process that laid the foundation for the rest of us to have this profession. And he still considers Coach Bryant the greatest of all time. And, of course, as we know, if he were to win tonight, he'll pass Coach Bryant in Alabama lore, which is none of us ever
dreamed. I feel like he already has.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm a little younger. And so I'm of the mind that Coach Saban's the greatest to ever do it. And I base that on a lot of different things, the era in which he's doing it. And another one of the things that I chatted with him about, Paul, that I don't think he gets enough credit for is all the turnover at the coordinator positions in his program. He's on his eighth offensive coordinator during his tenure at Bama and his fifth defensive coordinator, and all they do is win. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and Marty, I did cover Coach Bryant briefly, and they're totally different. And he won in a more wide open era when you had when Marty Smith declared national championship. You ought to start doing that, by the way.
I should. I made the Eckrich $1 million throw today.
I saw it. Listen, I'm sitting right downstairs with Matt Berry. We were on right after you, and I'm thinking, okay, Herb Street, don't show Marty up too much. And there he goes. I mean, I felt bad for Herb.
It's like my Super Bowl, Paul.
I felt
like I won the Super Bowl.
I saw it, and I was proud because people don't give you enough credit for.
I can't wait to see how Stetson Bennett plays as well. To me, I think the quarterbacks are so important in this game, and in talking to our colleagues who are experts on all this, they agree. Alabama's going to try to keep Stetson Bennett in the pocket and make him beat them throwing the football because he's so dangerous with his feet. And, of course, Georgia wants to run the football with Zamir White and James Cook. I think one thing that they're definitely going to want to do, Todd Monken, the offensive coordinator, he's going to want to get Brock Bowers involved very early and very often. And all those swing passes to James Cook that just they dominated Michigan in that game. And that was one reason. Cook was unstoppable.
In terms of the flow of the game and the personalities, we were talking to Coach Mullen about Kirby Smart. You know Kirby's, the if not now when question almost seems cruel for a guy playing for a second national championship.
It's amazing that the only thing that he hasn't accomplished at the University of Georgia is beating Nick Saban, okay?
Yeah.
I was talking to Champ Bailey for a big feature that I did on Kirby.
Right.
Went back to Bainbridge with Damian Esparza,
who's a
phenomenal producer. A swimmer. Yeah, who knew? Kirby Smart was a competitive swimmer. But Champ Bailey said in that piece, and I found it so telling because he's one of the greatest dogs of all time, like the longer this goes, the louder it's going to get.
Right.
Because his excellence as a football coach and excellence as a program that he's built, they got to win one.
Yeah.
And break this four-decade streak. I mean, that's my whole life. That's my whole life.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it doesn't seem that long. I was telling somebody, I was in my 20s. I mean, show you how long ago it's been. Were you even born?
I was, yeah. I was 4 years old.
Do you remember anything about it?
I don't. I mean, of course I've seen Herschel Walker running over Bill Bates and all that, you know. Right. But I don't remember a thing about it, no.
Always such a pleasure to have Marty Smith with us as we do these Friday shows. This one's on a Monday, and it's the final Monday of the season. Thanks
so much,
Marty.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.